All right, your weather forecast says it'll be mostly cloudy today. We'll have a high of about 47. Last night, the Mount Pleasant Plan Commission supported amending the village and county land use plan and rezoning the southeast corner of Green Bay Road and Spring Street for a proposed gas station, convenience store, restaurant, and car wash. Community Development Director Logan Martin said the site has been amended and the traffic study calls for some changes that will impact traffic off of Sunny Slope, out of the Pick and Save, right turns at Spring Street, and out of the site onto Spring. Meanwhile, several people attended the meeting and a number of them offered their comments.
There's open properties possibly that you won't have to take over people's houses and, you know, make a business out of it. But I just think that it's a bad precedent, and I would hope that it would stay a residential neighborhood.
These jobs are really needed here. I myself, and probably I'm speaking for probably, there's 2,000 people in this area that would really love to have a job. And everybody's worried about getting their mail, parking. You know, everybody has to compromise, I think.
The full village board will consider the recommendations next week. Citing lower attendance figures and test data really no better than other schools, Racine Unified Administration is proposing to end the year-round program at Janes Elementary after more than 20 years. Schedule at Janes differs from the other schools with month-long breaks in April, August, and December. The Board of Education at last night's work session was told by Deputy Superintendent Eric Gallion that maybe 5 dozen students in the Janes attendance area actually go there. Out of 234 students at the school this year, that compares to a total of 420 just 5 years ago. A proposed comprehensive study of Racine Unified now has Caledonia on board, joining Sturtevant. Still waiting, though, on Mount Pleasant. It's information that would help village trustees in each community determine if a separate school district might be a better scenario. The only conversation was about Mount Pleasant's board not including the needed $15,000 in their 2016 budget. Caledonia trustee Kevin Wongard noting, though, they're still talking about it.
Their finance committee, they could have done it at budget time. They elected not to. They said that their finance committee... I gave a talk before their meeting, and they decided it was basically just to approve their budget as it was, and sent their finance committee meeting to approve that.
Trustee Jim Dobbs' only concern, not knowing if Mount Pleasant would join. That's a third of the total $45,000 cost of that study. You might be surprised to discover that a lot of teenagers don't think that Facebook is very cool these days. But they still use it quite a bit, according to Michael Toscano.
Nearly 8 in 10 American teenagers use Facebook, even though a lot of them don't think the social media giant is cool. Forrester Research says 78% of U.S. teens use Facebook, but only 65% of 12 to 17-year-olds say Facebook is cool, and that's a much lower cool factor than YouTube's 80%, Snapchat 79%, and Instagram 78%. But Forrester reports a third of the teens who use Facebook say they're on the site all the time. I'm Michael Toscano.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says targeting Muslims would violate America's core values. A response to GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump proposing to bar Muslims from entering the country. In a Capitol Hill briefing, Ryan said that such proposals do not reflect conservatism, and they aren't what the Republican Party or the country as a whole stands for.
There are Muslims serving right here in the House, working every day to uphold and to defend the Constitution. Some of our best and biggest allies in this struggle and fight against radical Islamic terror are Muslims, the vast, 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 vast majority of whom are peaceful.
He acknowledged that many Americans are feeling unsafe and unsure after Paris and San Bernardino, but he also accused the president of seeking to continue the status quo in the fight against terrorism. A Kenosha judge making no immediate ruling on a motion that would help the prosecution's case against Stephen Zelich, a former West Dallas cop accused of killing two women and dumping their bodies in Walworth County. Zelich claims the deaths, one of which occurred in Kenosha County, were accidental, the result of consensual sex play. Kenosha County Assistant DA Mike Gravely believes that they were planned deaths and that he wants the leeway to talk to the jury about them, to establish a pattern, keeping the bodies in storage, he said, even after questioning by authorities, proof of Zelich's intent.
He continues to keep the bodies in his trunk for an additional 3 months. That's how valuable and treasured they are to him, Your Honor. And that is the motive. That's how we will be able to tell a jury that this is a premeditated death. That because of how he prizes the body afterwards, the only logic to that is that he caused that death so that he could have that prize.
Kenosha Judge Bruce Schrader hoping to make a ruling on that motion before Zelich's January trial begins. And a Racine teenager accused of breaking into Mitchell Elementary School in Racine in July, causing thousands of dollars in damage, pleads guilty to criminal damage to property. In return, a burglary plea is dropped but can be considered when 17-year-old Nathan Bush is sentenced in February. The Racine County District Attorney's Office charging 25-year-old Jonathan Sparks with reckless homicide through the use of a dangerous weapon, that for the shooting death of Jamal Stansiel in July of 2008. Sparks currently being held in Illinois under a federal sentence. He was interviewed there by Racine police investigators, and according to the criminal complaint, Sparks admitted to putting a gun over a fence and then firing several times. That tied into statements made by other witnesses. Sparks had been arrested that July on gun and drug charges in a separate incident, but those charges were later dismissed. A 51-year-old Milwaukee man dies in an apartment building fire last night on the city's northwest side. First responders got him out, tried to revive him. No such luck. Fire does not appear to have been suspicious, believed to have started in the kitchen area. The Summers Village Board being urged by the Plan Commission to support rezoning that connects to a proposed retail residential development north of Highway S along Green Bay Road. It involves a festival food store and a 280-unit apartment complex, both north and east of the existing Walmart Supercenter and Sam's Club. The Village Board will meet on the recommendation this evening. The Kenosha News indicates that approval could mean groundbreaking on Thursday of this week, given the weather forecast. City of Racine has applied for a 50% matching grant from the urban green space of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. This to assist with the purchase of 5.5 acres for land and a component of the RootWorks project. This would go toward developing a public outdoor recreation space in the former industrial zone known as Machinery Row. And Milwaukee's going to be one of 38 markets in which AT&T will be launching ultra-fast internet service next year. Gigapower, as it's called, going to allow for 1 gigabyte per second uploads and downloads, which means movies can be streamed without buffering, and some files can download as fast as they can be saved to a hard drive. AT&T first launched Gigapower in Austin, Texas 2 years ago, and now it has it in roughly 20 metro markets around the country. The Kenosha City Council, after a closed session last night, voted to deny a formal claim by the city's former information technology contractor, which likely sets the stage for a lawsuit. The $1 million claim was filed by Comsys and owner Kathy McAuliffe, alleging misappropriation, conversion, and theft of Comsys assets and trade secrets. Comsys also claiming that the city interfered with employment contracts. McAuliffe specifically alleging that the city, through Administrator Frank Pacetti, conspired with Comsys employee Tig Kirkman to bring information technology services in-house. Kirkman eventually named the city's director of information technology. A criminal investigation by the Racine Sheriff's Office, the State Department of Criminal Investigation, and the FBI was launched last year into alleged activity by Kirkman, who has not been charged with anything thus far. Housing authorities all around Wisconsin, including Racine and Kenosha counties, going to be sharing nearly $607,000 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. It's to help public housing and housing choice voucher residents find jobs and continue their education. Racine County to receive $66,000, City of Kenosha's Housing Authority $67,000. The grants to help each housing authority hire service coordinators who will work directly with residents, connecting them with programs and services already existing in their communities. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation creating a new program that will equip schools with high-tech lab facilities. This will provide grants to schools for things like 3D printers, computer-assisted design, and other hands-on experiences. Chief Executive Officer Mark Hogan says it will equip students with the skills to set them apart in the job market, also to help the state's workforce have the knowledge needed by employers. University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh officials indicating the second fire on campus in 2 days, late yesterday afternoon at Fletcher Hall. While it was contained to the basement area of the building, students allowed back into their rooms within 90 minutes. How it started, still under investigation. Wisconsin's Department of Justice says it conducted 1,752 gun purchase background checks on the Friday after Thanksgiving. That is the highest one-day total ever. The next closest, 1,542 on December 21st of 2012. That was a week after the mass shooting at a Connecticut elementary school. Nationwide on Black Friday this year, the FBI did over 185,000 firearms background checks. That was also the most ever during a single day. There's a new survey out of Wisconsin employers, and it shows nearly a quarter of them are expecting to add workers over the first 3 months of next year.
Those employers that were interviewed, 24% of them said that they will be adding to staff in Q1, while only 8% said that they would be decreasing staff.
The Manpower Group's Karen Miller says another 66% of the Wisconsin businesses surveyed believe they'll maintain their current staffing levels between January and March. The financial news and opinion website 24/7 Wall Street has a list of this country's best-run states, and it shows North Dakota to be number one, New Mexico dead last, and in between, number 26 is Wisconsin. The rankings based on data which includes debt per capita, median household income, the poverty rate, and unemployment. Wisconsin and South Dakota get high marks for being the only two states with fully funded pension systems. But on the negative side, Wisconsin is one of seven states without a rainy day fund. Alarm clocks are being collected by the nonprofit networking group of the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce to help Kenosha Unified students get to school on time. The alarm clocks, either electric or battery-powered, can be dropped off through December 30th at the Educational Support Center, that's Kenosha Unified Headquarters on 52nd Street, or the Hope Council on Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse on 6th Avenue. Oh, and the Pleasant Prairie Police and Fire Departments have a little friendly competition scheduled for December 16th, but don't be fooled. Each is out for blood. From 3:30 till 7:30 p.m. that day, members of each department will be rolling up their sleeves, flexing their biceps, and donating blood in coordination with a nonprofit group called Invest. It'll take place at Lake Andrea in the pavilion. Our AccuWeather forecast says mainly cloudy this afternoon, the high around 47. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.